Let's turn now in our Bibles to the Gospel according to John, chapter 21. We'll read this morning the first 14 verses. I'll read the first and the unnumbered, and Brian will lead you in the reading of the even-numbered. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself.
There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples.
And Simon Peter saith unto them, I'm going fishing. And they said unto him, We'll go with you. And they went forth into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing.
But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus.
Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have you any meat? And they answered him, No.
And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish.
And therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea.
And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fish.
And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread.
Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which you have now caught.
Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fish, 153. And for all that there were so many, yet was not the net broken.
Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples dared ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord.
And Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise.
This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, and after that he was risen from the dead.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the way that Jesus showed himself alive after his death by many infallible proofs. And Lord, we look at this incident now with your disciples there at the Sea of Galilee. And we pray, Lord, that you'll just open up our minds and our understanding. And Lord, just elaborate on this for us that we might see, Lord, exactly what you're seeking after from your disciples. And so, Lord, may we be able to express to you the genuineness of our love for you, a complete, divine, fervent love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to the 21st chapter, which we've just read a part of it. And we'd like to begin with just a short lesson in Greek. Greek is a much richer language than English. In English, we have the one word love, which is greatly overused. I say, well, I love my wife. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. I love my great-grandchildren. I love peanut butter. And yet what I feel for peanut butter is far different than what I feel for my wife. And but we have just the one word, love, to express it. In Greek, there are many words for love. There is the eros, the phileo, the agape, the stoutouro, and other words that express love in the Greek, but expresses different kinds of love. The eros, physical love, that's what Hollywood portrays as love. Our English language, the word erotic, comes from the Greek eros. It is physical, it is totally selfish, it only seeks primarily what the relation will bring to me. I love you because physically you excite me. It is interesting that the word eros is not really found in the Bible. It doesn't speak of that kind of love in the Bible at all. It could be translated eros and probably more accurately translated eros than love. There is the second Greek word for love, and that is phileo. And that's it's a reciprocal kind of love. I love you because you love me. I'm attracted to you, and you are attracted to me. And it is a back and forth kind of reciprocal love. It gives and it receives. I love you because you make me feel good when I'm with you, and I try to do those things that please you. I love you because we have mutually shared likes and dislikes. We love the same kind of things. You love peanut butter too, and so we get along. Philadelphia comes from the two Greek words, phileo and aldophas, the city of brotherly love. There is another Greek word for love, and it isn't really found much in classical Greek. It is thought that it was one that was sort of coined for the New Testament. A love that far exceeds the emotional phileo. A love in the realm of the spirit. The New Testament had to coin the word, and so this word in Greek is agapas. Excels and exceeds all other loves. It's a divine, fervent love. In adding a word to the vocabulary, it is always necessary to give a definition of that word. And so the Bible gives us basically two definitions for agapas. One is in 1 Corinthians 13. We are told that agapas suffers long and is kind. It does not envy. It doesn't vaunt itself. It is not puffed up. It doesn't act weird. It doesn't seek its own. It doesn't, and it is not provoked. It never thinks evil. It rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. Agapas never fails. There is then in Galatians the other definition for agapas, and it is the fruit of the Spirit is agapas. But then modifying that word and describing it, what it is about, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, and faith. And these are words that all modify agapas for us. In our story, Jesus has risen from the dead, and he has shown himself to his disciples on a couple of different occasions, telling them to go up to the Galilee, and he would meet with them there. And so the disciples have arrived in the Galilee region. They're waiting for the Lord, but he doesn't show up on their time schedule. And so when he didn't show up on their time schedule, Peter said, "Well, fellas, I'm going fishing." And being the leader that he was, seven of them said, "Well, we'll go with you." And we read that they went out and they fished all night and they caught nothing. In the morning, Jesus was standing on the shore, but they didn't recognize him. He called out to them the typical question that you ask a fisherman. catch anything? And they, being honest, said, no. Now, usually they'll say, well, the big one got away. But, you know, they were just straightforward, honest. No, we failed. We didn't catch anything. Jesus had called them to leave the nets and to follow him. But Peter is ready to go back to fishing for a living. I believe that when Jesus asked, catch anything, he knew that they didn't. But I think that he was wanting them to admit their failure. You know, and he then instructed them, cast your nets on the other side. And when they did, immediately the net was filled with great fish, so heavy that they couldn't draw it into their boat. And so when John saw that the net was so full of fish they couldn't draw it into the boat, he said to Peter, it's the Lord. And John grabbed his coat and dove in and swam to shore. John came with the other disciples pulling the nets, and they were in a little dory that was attached to their fishing boat. When they came to the shore, they found that there was a fire there, coals, and there were fish and bread, and Jesus said, come and dine. At this point, Jesus began his discussion with Peter. When Peter was warming himself by the enemy's fire outside of the house of the high priest, he denied three times his relationship with the Lord, that he even knew him. Now he's by another fire. This one is the fire that Jesus has kindled, and where Jesus will give him three opportunities to confess his love for his Lord. It's important that Jesus uses the Greek word agapas for love when he said to Peter, lovest thou me more than these? He's asking, do you love me, Peter, with a divine, fervent love more than these? But what are the these? You know, we weren't there and no one drew a picture, so we don't know what Jesus was referring to. Could he be referring to the net that was filled with fish? Could he be referring to success in Peter's chosen occupation, the height of success with the 150 great fish that were there in the net, flopping there in that net? Or was he referring to the other disciples? Was he looking at the other disciples and saying, Peter, do you love me more than these? You see, prior to his death, when Jesus was talking about his death and Peter began to rebuke him, Jesus rebuked Peter and said that, all of you are going to be offended tonight because of me. Peter said, Lord, though they all may be offended, I would never be offended. In other words, he was saying, Lord, you can count on me. I love you more than they do. I don't know about them, but you can count on me. I would never be offended. And Jesus said, Peter, before the rooster crows, you will have denied three times that you even know me. Peter said, Lord, they could kill me, but I would never deny you. But we know the story. He did deny the Lord those three times that Jesus said. So here is Jesus saying, Peter, do you love me more than these? More than these other disciples, or more than success in your chosen occupation? And when Peter answered Lord, you know that I love you. He didn't use the word that Jesus had used. When Jesus said, lovest thou me, he used the word agapas. Do you love me with the divine, fervent love? And Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. He used the Greek word phileo. I am fond of you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. Peter had failed, but now Jesus is recommissioning him. And so Jesus asked him the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Again, using the Greek word agapas. And again, Peter answered his love for him, declaring, I am fond of you. So Jesus, the third time, said, Peter, are you really fond of me? He was reduced and did reduce himself to Peter's level of love, talking about the phileo. Jesus, the third time, said, phileo, are you fond of me? Do you love me? And Peter was offended. It hurt Peter because the third time Jesus said, are you fond of me? Jesus had come down to Peter's level. It's always a sad day when we reduce the Lord to our level, when we can't rise to his level and to the highest level that we can achieve his level for us. Jesus will always lift you as high as you will allow him. He will do his best for you on that level, but it is sad that we oftentimes limit what the Lord would do for us if we would only surrender fully and completely to him. So Peter failed to come up to the level that Jesus was calling for, and so Jesus came down to Peter's level, and he said, feed my sheep. Why is it that Peter didn't come up to the level of the agapas? Well, of course, we know Peter. He had a foot and mouth disease. He was always saying things that he was being rebuked for. When Jesus asked, whom do men say that I am? They responded with the common opinion. Some think you're John the Baptist, raised from the dead. Some think you're that other prophet. And Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say unto you that you are Petros, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And upon the acknowledgement of who Jesus really was, the Son of the living God, Jesus began to declare unto them that he would be turned over to the heathen, and that they would crucify him, but the third day he would rise from the dead. They only heard the words crucify, and that just was something that was so foreign to their understanding of the Messiah that Peter began to rebuke Jesus. And he said, Lord, be that far from thee. And Jesus turned and rebuked Peter. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. You offend me. You don't understand the things that are of God and things that are of men. Again, when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet on the Last Supper, when he came to Peter, Peter said, Lord, you're never going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you really have no part with me. Peter said, Lord, give me a bath. And he said, no, Peter, you don't need a bath, just your feet. And it was a symbolic thing. And again, Peter just overboard. But Jesus said, "He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loveth me." That is the agapas. And Peter had the commandment of the Lord, "Go into Galilee, and I will meet with you there." But he is back out fishing, and thus he has a hard time saying, "Lord, you know that I agapas you. Do you love me more than these?" Should Jesus call you aside today for a private chat and ask you that question? Do you love me more than these? You see, he wants his love, your love for him, to exceed all other loves in your life. So when he says more than these, what are the these in your life? Maybe it's your home. Maybe it's your car. Maybe it's your career. What is keeping you from being lifted to the highest level of your love and in your walk with Jesus? Jesus said if you wanted to come after him, you needed to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. We are all reminded that we are commanded to love agapas, the Lord our God, with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. You may ask, did Peter ever come up to the Lord's level of the agapas? And we read in his first epistle, "Whom having not seen, you love." And he uses the agapas there. "Though you do not see him now, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." And may this become true in our lives today, that we love him supremely, that we rejoice in that relationship that we have. The unspeakable glory, ours, through the love that he has for us and our love for him. Lord, this day we want to make the confession. We do love you with the agapas, with that love that excels all love. Loving you, Lord, more than anything else, more than everything else. And Lord, may that become true in each of our lives. May each of us, Lord, have that kind of a deep commitment of our lives and of ourselves to you. Loving you, Lord, may the love exceed all other loves. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. The pastors are down here at the front to minister to you this morning. And it may be that as we examine ourselves and examine our love for the Lord, that we are maybe in love phase of phileo. We're with Peter. "Lord, I am fond of you." Maybe it would be difficult for us to say, "Lord, I love you," the agapas, that divine, total, complete, fervent love. But that's the kind of love he is desiring from you today. And so these pastors are down here to help you to come into a deeper relationship with the Lord, into this loving relationship where your love for him exceeds all other loves in your lives. And so as we're dismissed, if you are desiring to have a deeper walk with the Lord, desiring to enter into that deepest area of love, I would encourage you just to come forward and just say, "Pray for me. I want the Lord to work in my life. I want my love to him not to be reserved, but just to be complete, total, the agape, that kind of love that is just superior to all other loves. And as you do, they'll be happy to pray for you, that the Lord will help you to come to that deepest, intimate, closest relationship you could possibly know. That's the place where you'll find joy, peace, and happiness. Until then, there will always be something missing. And there's that consciousness that there is something missing. I'm falling short of what God would have me to be, and coming short of the things he would have me to do. And so may God work in each of our lives today, drawing us near and drawing us close to him. The Lord bless thee,
Lord bless thee,
and keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you.